okay? There's no question we have a problem with winning souls. We do. We don't win souls in the capacity that we even read about in the book of Acts. Because you see, you know, great evangelism and you see great outreach and how they were adding, and it wasn't always just big crusade type messages. They continued in that prayerful lifestyle. They continued in that fellowship, and they would go from house to house and door to door, and they would go into the temple. And what you have to understand, what they were doing is they were winning people over to Jesus. That's what they were doing. Yeah, they were getting fed and they were making prophetic declarations, and half some of the time they were running from their lives. But what they were really doing is they were winning people to Jesus. Now, one thing that we have to understand is that when they got started, they had experienced on earth Jesus's, you know, his life and then his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so it was fresh. And people knew about him. And so when they would minister Jesus, they would minister with such a heart and with such conviction of like, this was our Savior. This is the guy. We walked with this man. We walked with the Son of God. And so when people would encounter them, they would encounter Jesus. And that's part of our problem is our devotional life and how we walk and the things that are distracting us are keeping us from that lifestyle and bringing that fresh wind or that fresh encounter to lost people. You have to understand they encounter Jesus through you and I, the church. That's how it was always designed. And so they encounter him because we're encountering him. Does that understand? Does that make sense? Because if you're not having... It would be an oxymoron that you really don't have any kind of relationship with Jesus, but you want to go out and lead people to Jesus. Think about that. That makes no sense at all. And some of the, if you look throughout the archives, through history, the people that were the most effective at winning people to Jesus were the people that were the most intimate with him. They had radical lifestyles, according to some. They had radical encounters. And so henceforth, when they would come in contact with sinners and even, you know, those that were kind of on the cold side, it would spark something on the inside of them that they would want what they had. I use this as a prime example. You could ask my wife. I was so cynical. I was raised in church and I was so far out there in drugs and alcohol that really most preachers that I run into, I just had some sort of bad word or kind of scoffed at what they had to say. It didn't seem real. They didn't seem real or authentic to me. Okay? Is the mic good? No? Oh, hallelujah. Brooke, hallelujah. Every time we eat, I make Brooke do that because she showed me that was her thing. Okay? But we went to Tassel Family Worship Center, and for the first time, she you know, y'all know my testimony, some do, that she called me into going. But I encountered Lawrence Hayes, and there was something about him that made me want to be like him. Not just be a preacher, but the way he interacted with everybody, the smile and the way he hugged me and the way he talked to me. He didn't say anything other than, if you need me, you know, I'm always here for you. And so there was something about him that made me want to do what he was doing. I'd like to have that life, I thought to myself. I'd like to have that kind of joy. I'd like to have that kind of peace. I'd like to have that smile on my face because I don't have one. And so there was something about him that, whether you realize it or not, the world looks at you the same way. They look at you the same way. And, you know, Destiny's here. She works in food service. And, you know, and she can tell you the people that come in that are Christians that you wouldn't know it. The way they talk, the way they tip, or probably come in and having a few sarsaparillas. You know what I mean? You know? And so so that's just a put-off. That's a put-off. And so what we see the Lord doing in here and these atmospheres that are created, you know, I used to be arrogant and think, man, I'm walking close with God, and when I come in here, he just shows up, and that's not it. You know? But we tend to think that. That's not why God shows up. Amen? He shows up. He wants us to encounter His presence and His goodness, and He wants to change us. And I'm going to be honest with you. I have been in some very powerful services. I've been in some life-changing services, and I've seen people come in and out of those no worse for the wear. There's an issue with that. I'm going to eventually address that at some point, but there's a problem with that, that we're not changed when we encounter God on this level. Amen? Because we should be. We should be. But it's church culture. It's we've gotten used to it, and you know we just know that God's going to be there and all these things, and so that's the problem. It's a real issue. Amen. So I don't think we'll have anything up on the wall. Is that correct, Steve? Yeah, he's like, I can't do it all, bro, man, you know. Cut me some slack. I want you to turn to the book of Mark chapter 3. I'm going to give you a second. I'm going to open my water as well. Mark chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. I want you guys to understand something. Neither Freedom House or Into the Light was your normal church, but I still at times felt the pressure to be churchy or to be what we were familiar with. And this whole time that I really haven't been ministering and I've been, you know, just with the Lord, seeking His face. Isn't it something, you know, that I've sought His face harder and haven't preached a message? That didn't used to be me. Used to be the only time I sought the Lord was to get a message. But I haven't preached anything, and I've been seeking God. Been very zealous, you know, coming after God. My thing is I don't want to do this. I don't want to fall into what you're expecting me to do. I refuse to do that, and maybe at times I might even just stop and say, I'm just going to do something different just because I feel like people are wanting me to do this. You understand what I'm saying? It's okay. I believe old school Pentecost, I believe it has its place in what we're doing. I believe the fiery preaching sometimes and the fiery prophetic word, you know, and the coming forth, I believe it has its place. But I believe everything that we have saw for the last 2,000 years has a place in what we're doing now. I really do. And so let's not get stuck into one thing or we got to be this, because I was thinking this morning about the sons of Issachar is we really have to capture what God is doing now. Because we can get so caught up in trying to be a new wineskin, you know, that we're not any kind of skin at all. We're not any kind of, you know, we don't fit into anything of what the Lord is wanting us to do. Now, you may say that's just, I'm speaking more prophetically than what you realize. Amen. I'm speaking, you know, from the Spirit. I had not planned to say any of that stuff. So grab a hold of that. But I believe that's our problem. We have in our mind this is how it should look. Be honest with yourself tonight. Hear me out. We don't know how this is going to look. We don't know how this is going to play out. Don't pretend like you do. I see into the future. I see what God shows me, but I'm not going to pretend. I don't know what's in store for me for the next year. I don't know. I don't know what's in store for Father's House. I know that we're going to follow the Spirit of God, but I'm not going to pretend that I know exactly how this is going to play out. But I'm doing the same thing that I've done for the last daggone 10 years. I'm just going to follow Him. That's all I know to do. That's all I know to do. I hate to get on rabbit trails, but if you look at the Apostle Paul, he determined to go to one location. The Lord forbid him to go there, and he goes another place, and they just try to find places to pray. Let's find a place to pray. Let's find a place to pray. Let's find a place to pray. And everywhere they went, it was revival, people getting set free, people getting saved. That's the kind of lifestyle I want. I'm trying to find a place to pray, and people are getting saved. I'm not trying to do a crusade. Not saying those don't have a place, because they do. But man, let's get, you know, we claim to be all spiritual and all this stuff. Let's just flow. Let's just go. Let's be led by the Spirit of God, you know, as to what to do. Hallelujah. Now, the scripture. Again, Jesus went into a synagogue. Amen. And a man was there. I'm reading from the Amplified. If you got an electronic device, you can put it on the Amplified if you want to. It doesn't really matter. And it says, and a man was there whose hand was withered. Come on, say withered. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. There was a problem with this man's hand, wasn't there? Now, let me ask you something. If I keep my hands like this, are they going to be more apt to be okay and not wither than if you sit there and put yours under your backside? Sit right there and put yours under. You don't do this. And sit week in and week out with on your hands and see what happens to your hands. You're going to cut off the blood flow. And your hands are going to wither up. Your hands are going to be damaged. There's going to be damage to your hands. And when we use the term withered, that was what was wrong. His hand was withered up. I believe this is a prophetic picture. God showed me this. When did I share this with you? A couple weeks ago? She's like, I don't know. He's all time, you know. I said, this is a prophetic. God showed me this is a prophetic picture of the church right now. We say we're the hands and feet of Jesus. And I'll agree with that. But I believe right now her hand is withered. I believe her hands are withered up. Amen. I believe we have, you know, I believe we have part of what God's doing, but we don't have the full part of what God is trying to do. As I said this morning, apostolic ministry, okay? Now, you'll never hear Dole Bradford say, call me Apostle Dole Bradford, okay? You don't even have to call him Pastor Dole Bradford. You call him late for dinner, you and him probably gonna fight, especially if there's chicken involved. You'll never hear me say, address me as Apostle Sean Boone or Evangelist Sean Boone or any of that stuff. You'll never hear me. I have never, never. And the people that's come and say, I feel like it's right and fitting that I call you Pastor, that's fine. If that's your conviction, call me that, but you don't have to call me that. You understand? It's in function. And if this is apostolic ministry, it's apostolic in function. Not because we have to be called apostles or we're involved in something apostolic. The bottom line is this. The church is just apostolic in nature. Bottom line, it's apostolic in nature. What do you mean? Apostle, the Greek word is apostolos, which means sent one. Well, the church for ages, when Jesus come, it's sent out. It's sent out. It's been sent. This was planted right here at a specific time for a specific reason. It was sent. You understand? I'm not going over your head, am I? So it's apostolic in nature. Okay? Now, apostolic ministry at its core, and you heard me say this morning, is evangelistic. You read through the book of Acts and they won souls. They won souls. Come on. Peter was a soul winner. Paul was a soul winner. John was a soul winner. Okay? And so that's evangelism. That's apostolic. Come on. We can't just use the term apostolic as deep, crazy ministry where you know, me and Dole and others are flying around and giving declarations and preaching hard and great knowledge. And that's apostolic in nature. This deep praise and worship is apostolic in nature. Do you understand? But you just can't do those things and say, we're apostolic. We're deeper than everybody else. We're apostolic. If you're not winning souls, you're not apostolic at all. Oh, that's a strong statement, isn't it? Well, what about the... Listen, God has been preparing us for this moment. For this moment. He's been preparing us. It's time. The man with the withered hand. That's going to change. Okay? So it says his hand was withered. The Pharisees were watching Jesus closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him in the Jewish high court. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. The thing that will stop a real move of God and will stop souls from being won will always be the religious spirit. It always comes against souls coming to the kingdom of God. Why? Because for one, it says you have to look and act and be this way before you can come be a part of what we're doing. You guys need to get ready for something. You need to get ready for seeing people, you know, that maybe strung out, smell like alcohol, high as kites, or maybe they don't even have nowhere to sleep. They don't probably smell good. They probably don't look good. But you need to probably get ready to start seeing those people in your midst. It's time for us to stop looking at these kind of people like, you know, down at the building, and you all will run into him. There's a man named Marvin. And Marvin is a drunk. And Marvin absolutely loves me. Have I won him to Jesus yet? Not yet. Not yet. But here's what Marvin knows. He knows if I go see that preacher, he's not going to try to put distance between me and him. He's going to hug me and love me and ask about my life and tell me how much that he loves me and genuinely be there for me. There's been small doors open up for me and Marvin to talk about the gospel, and I've been able to share a few prophetic words, but there's nothing that burns on the inside of me that I've got to win somebody to Jesus. We can't have the mindset that how many of you won, Doyle, in 2016? Well, I won this. So what? If I'm doing my job, you will win more souls than I win. If I'm doing my job, to train and equip to be able to win souls. But we've got to get to the place, and I spoke about it this morning, to where we actually love people. We can love them right in their mess. And I'm telling you, the type of evangelism that just walks up and say, you saved, you smell like you need to get right, you know, hell's coming your way, it doesn't work. The number one thing, and this is where we're missing it, the number one way people were won, and Doyle said it this morning, is there was relationship. There was relationship. I'm telling you, getting on a megaphone and hollering that they're going to hell and God hates them and all this stuff isn't going to win anybody to Jesus. It does not. There's no fruit whatsoever. Amen. It all comes through relationship. Amen. So this religious spirit says, let's just see how we can accuse him. He said to the man whose hand was withered, get up and come forward. Woo! You want a prophetic word tonight? Get up and come forward. You want a prophetic word? Get up and come forward. Get up. Come on. Get up and come forward. Listen, it is not hard work getting to church weekly. Quit pretending like that's some kind of daggone stinking chore to get to church. That is not hard work. It's not hard work to come in here and lift your hands and praise God. That's not hard work. It's not hard work to get up here and have somebody speak a word over you and you sit and mull over that word that this is what God wants me to do. That is not hard work. But to get up and come forth and really be the hands and feet of Jesus and get out there to a lost and dying world, that's where the work comes in. Henceforth, we'd rather sit with our hands on our backside and not do anything. Because it's work. And we talked about some things that's in your heart that you're dealing with. Here's why we're saying that. Because when you go out there and say, can I pray for you? And they say, no, don't you touch me. Don't you speak the name of Jesus. Most people will hear that one time and they'll never reach out to anybody again. It takes persistence. It takes consistency. You got to be willing to be told, no, they're not rejecting you, person. They're not rejecting you. They're just rejecting your God and your Savior. That's all they're doing. It's nothing personal. Come on. This has nothing to do with the messenger. It's the message that they're rejecting. Amen? Get up and come forth. It's not difficult to get to church. It's not. Quit acting like that's some kind of big deal. I woke up this morning at whatever time, 7 o'clock. Couldn't wait. Guess what? I wasn't the main speaker today. Because you can't use that. You're the minister. No, I wasn't. And the bottom line is this show can go on without me. And this show can go on without you. Amen? I apologize. It's a little tough, I know. But this has got to be edgy. It's got to be edgy. I'm telling you, it takes some moxie. It takes some get up and go. It takes some tough skin to do the work of an evangelist. You hear me? Now, here's what I also want to say. There's a difference between doing the work of an evangelist and being one. And if you're being one, that's different. And if you're going to do the work of one, that's different as well. But I need you to know something. And I know don't want mind me saying this. Don't try to be involved in everything here. Quit trying to do everything here. If you feel your cause evangelism, then focus on that. I am. Because if you're going to try to do everything, there's some things that you're not going to do well. And if you're really a soul winner, do that well. I can't believe you just said that. You told me to come to church, now you're telling me not to come. No, quit trying to do every little thing that goes on. Huh? Be a specialist. Does that make sense, what I'm communicating to you? Amen? Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that I don't have to try to pastor and do the work of an evangelist. I can do the work of an evangelist. And I'm not going to try to do his job and my job. I'm not an idiot. I may look like one, but I'm not one. The only way the withered hand got took care of is he got up and come forward. Do you know how many people are sitting on their laurels now and God wants to heal them? God wants to set them free, but they won't get up and come forward? Amen? Hallelujah. He asked them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they kept silent. After looking around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness and arrogance of their hearts, he told the man. You know, there's many different times that Jesus got upset. You know? Do you know he's upset when we don't reach out to people, when we don't help people, when souls aren't being... Do you understand that God's not okay with people not being saved? He's not okay with it. Do you understand that? He's not okay with it. He's not okay with us coming in and getting ours and never sharing. If you listen, I see you people week in and week out. If you love this place so much, why aren't you bringing people here? Man, where's the crickets at? I mean, it got quiet all of a sudden. I only got one come on with that from the preacher. Amen. Think about it. You love this place so much, it's that good, and it's doing so much for you. Do you not think it would do the same for maybe a friend or a coworker, or maybe even somebody you hate? They hate your guts, you hate theirs. Y'all might get along if you brought them here. Think about it. Amen. He told the man, hold out your hand. Get it out from under your butt and hold out your hand. Come on. How about this? Reach out. Outreach. My little Logan right on cue back there sticking his hand out for me. Thank you, son. Reach out your hand. Reach out. You missing it. Reach out. Come on. That hand has to come from close to you, and it has to stop from being here, and it has to go out. The church has to go out. It was always designed that way. But something happened to where it had to self-preserve. It had to get inward focus, and it had to make sure it was around 100 years from now. Do you understand that's a spirit that does that? Do you understand that's a spirit? It's not a God spirit. But when we self-preserve and we don't multiply, that's contrary to God's word to be fruitful and multiply, isn't it? It's what we're instructed in the word of God to do. But the church isn't being fruitful and multiplying. Think about that. You heard the statistics this morning. Less than 5% of people are coming to churches that are being won to Christ. Oh my gosh. I shared with you right before all this began to go down, before we got ready to merge, I think we were still having our split services, and I was preaching and I shared this. This weighed heavy on my decision to do what I ended up doing with Doyle. This weighed heavy. But first I saw the finger come through the wall that pointed right between my eyes. You. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but it's something I'll never forget. And I'll probably sit next to the throne and say, God, do you remember when you stuck at your big finger right at me between my eyes? Well, it changed my life. But I also seen myself standing on the edge of a cliff over an abyss. And there were people in a pit crying out. And I turned around and looked at God. And he said, if you'll listen to me, they'll come out. If not, they stay down. There's nobody, and God had to work on my heart, there's nobody, nobody that I want in hell. Do we have a revelation? Do we have enough revelation of what kind of place that is? Because the Bible speaks on hell. And I'm not glooming and dooming, and I'm not trying to scare you into something. But maybe that's where we're missing it. Who do I want down there? Who would you want? And they're going daily. Don't deceive yourself. Don't buy into the God's so good, nobody goes to hell. Everybody goes, don't buy into it. If that's the case, then what we're doing is a sham. Don't buy into it. This is what prompted me to say, God, I know this is what you want me to do. I've walked in the season that you wanted me to walk into. I've learned. You've dealt with my heart, and now I'm going to do what you're asking me to do. I spoke about humility this morning. The lower you go, the higher he takes you. The more you sacrifice, the more you give up, the more he allows to come your way. I'm going to say some things, and I hope it's okay, some of these things that I say. But in a sense, I sacrifice something. Doyle sacrificed something. Sacrificing $700,000 worth of buildings. You understand? But it's what's required. It's what's required. This don't come easy. And it don't come cheap. You understand? It takes more to get up and come forth and reach out your hand and what you're giving credit for. Because it's hard. It takes a lot. I feel God in this place. I feel God in this place. To get where I'm at right now, I've given up a lot. I've gained so much from giving it up. But what you have to understand is the dream died. Soon as I got saved, I started seeing large crowds of people, and I was preaching to them. Soon as I got saved, and that burned on the inside of me, that lit a fire on the inside of me, and I was just like, I'm going for it, I'm going for it, I'm going for it. But in the process, it died. It was dead. When it was presented to me, I didn't even know to go for it because it was so dead on the inside of me. This isn't about being some kind of showboat or being some kind of, oh man, some supernatural man of God that people's just going to talk about or, you know, listen to his great words and watch him perform miracles. I want you to know that there was times that I felt like God was asking me to pray for somebody, but I knew I was wanting to get the glory and I wouldn't go pray for them. Because if they got healed, I was wanting somebody to come pat me on the back. Oh man, watch what that guy did. If he lays hands on somebody, they get healed. Thank God. Thank God that's dead on the inside of me. Thank God I don't want to see and be seen. Thank God I was able to take the last 2 months and absolutely do nothing, and it didn't matter to me. I'm not affirmed by my gift. I'm not affirmed by the call that's on my life. I'm not identified as preacher or apostle or prophet or any of those things. Those aren't my identity. I want people to know that when I come in contact with them and when I get before them, my identity isn't those things. I'm a child of God. He's my dad. He's delivered me from some awful things. It's got to go away. Don't try to approach this with a see and be seen attitude. Don't pat yourself on the back because souls are being won or because the church is getting big. Because when the day's done, it has nothing to do with you and it has nothing to do with me. Nothing. This has to be real and it has to be authentic. It has to be organic. You don't need our hands meddling in it. This is how it's got to be. Hold out your hand. And he held it out. And his hand, the church, the bride, the lost, was completely restored. This is about the restoration. Come on. This is about the restoration of the church. This is about the restoration of sick, dying people. You want to know why people don't get healed? It's because we want the glory. People can't get healed. We want it. We want us to see me. While all this began to transpire, I saw myself standing out in a field in Africa. I knew the field. I had been by the field. And I was standing there by myself. And one Kenyan walked up to me, and I prayed for him. And they were saved, and they was healed. And I told God, that's good enough for me. I don't have to have hundreds of thousands of people to preach to say I'm doing the work, the gospel. Come on. Do you have to do ministry? Are you validated by your gift? And you know, it's not what this is about. You're not ready.